We've been in a series in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. We've talked about John, 1st John, and we've discussed love and doctrine and how they're related to one another. You can't have one without the other. We've looked at 2nd John, and we've looked at the idea that you can't have love, or you must have love and discernment, and they go together. And in 3rd John, we're talking about the main issue that in love, you also have to address division. And we'll get to the core of that division next Sunday, but it's important for us to consider that John continues to mentor the worker of God. And we're going to look at that in verses 5 through 8 today. Let's dig in as we look at the faithful worker in verse 5. It says, "Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are." Stranger danger, right? Stranger danger. We don't want our kids to talk to anybody who's strange or odd or weird. If somebody comes offering you a candy at the playground, you run away. If somebody strange or different comes into church today, well, whoo, they're a little scary. We'll have to wait and see, you know, what they're like. Stranger danger. You know, we like to talk to our own tribe, don't we? You know, I know all of you have your own friends. You've sat by them today. Some of you are sitting by yourself. I'll pray for you. Just happened. That's just funny. But you know, in church, we tend to talk to those people we know. We tend to reach out to those people we're most comfortable with. And so those of you who are involved in life groups, you huddle together with your life group. And those who are on the worship team, they huddle together. And you know, the children's ministry in Awana, they tend to huddle together. You know, that's what we do. And the apostle John is instructing Gaius, our faithful worker, about what he's doing and how important it is in the kingdom of God. So let's look, number one, the faithful worker is endearing. Notice that the text says, beloved. Beloved, it is a faithful thing. You know our purpose, one mind, one love, and one purpose. We want to unite the kingdom of God, the church of God, together in such strong relationships that even if the pastor, you know, serves up, you know, just average or below average sermons, you'd still want to come because your friends are here. The beloved are here. Those whom you know in Christ are here. I had the opportunity to go to a conference this weekend and hear from Larry Osborne. He's got like 14,000 people at his church. And he said, you know what? People won't come to church or stay at church because of how great the pastor is. They will stay at church because of how deep their relationships are with one another. And so we see here that Gaius was beloved, and you'll find later in the text that the individuals reported of his love that he had. He was faithful, trustworthy, willing to stay at the task and remain in it. And so last week we looked at the idea that it was a delight and a joy to John to find his child in the Lord continuing in the truth. Last week I gave you the challenge of writing that person who had led you to Christ and say, thank you for that, and I'm still walking in the faith. What a delight for me to actually get some of those cards this week and just be encouraged by, you know, the fact that we remain faithful. You know, we think of faithfulness, we need to understand it's an adjective. It describes who Gaius is. And so we understand that this is his characteristic. You know, we talk about faithfulness, we tend to think about faithfulness in marriage. We've been married a long time, but the question is have you been faithful for a long time? In one of my favorite movies, it says faithfulness, enduring faithfulness. You know, this is what we need to have in Christ, is staying at it over a long period of time. Not in and out of the kingdom, not in and out of obedience, not in and out of ministries, staying at the task. Remaining faithful to what you know to be true. And so Gaius was described as faithful. My dog Jake is faithful. Jake is a great dog. He's an Australian Shepherd and big old hairy thing. He, you know what, in most respects, he destroys things in my house and he leaves hair all over the place. But you know, when I come home, Jake is right at the door to say, hey Mike, I'm glad you're here. You know, you have that kind of dog at home? I'm glad you're here. You know, and he will not take the brush by. You cannot walk by him. He stops you right there. He kind of gets in your way. He's a big dog. And he says, you know what? Give me some of that love, Mike, right? He's a faithful dog. You know, when he's not getting enough affection, he'll lie on the floor roll over on his back, and he does this greatest thing. We call it the praising the Lord pose. He gets one arm tucked in like this, and the other one is straight up in the air like this. Praise the Lord, you know. You know, you just think about faithful people. They are the kind of people that are all over the place saying, praise the Lord. When you see them, praise the Lord. Look at what God is doing. This is Jake. You know what? Every time I leave, you know, he walks me to the door. Walks me to the door. You know, and for whatever reason, you know, I'm always forgetting something. You know, and like this morning, I'm walking out the door, and I had left my sermon in the kitchen, so I had to walk back. And you could just see Jake looking at me like, I know you're leaving. I'm walking you to the door. What's the problem here? But he just waits until I turn around and get my stuff, whether it's my keys or my wallet or, you know, my mind, you know. And he waits there patiently for me and then exits me out. Maybe you have a faithful dog like that at home. Faithfulness. You know, there are people in church that are faithful. You are faithful to one another. I see the way that you greet one another. I see you as you embrace one another at the door. I see you excited that people are here. Faithful. You know, as we think about what a faithful worker is, I think that he is a loving person. You know, at this conference that I went to, they talked about the fact that oftentimes churches, when they get between that 250 and 300 phase, which is where we are as a church, you stop seeing faces and seeing numbers. And if a church is ever going to grow beyond this phase right now, we must figure out how to be faithful to relationships where people are not just numbers, but they are people. And so we know their name. Why do we say turn around and greet somebody every Sunday? Because we want to be intentional that you reach out and you say, hello, Colette, and hello, Jonathan, hello, Dorothy, hello, Don, and hello, Pat, and hello, Patty, and don't call her anything other than that. You know, we need to be faithful and loving in that regard. Faithful. And praise the Lord. You know, the second thing I want you to see here in this text is the faithful worker is energetic. Notice that the text says, in all your efforts. The word effort here is really the idea of work, but if you look up the Greek term here, it means to do it with energetic effort. You know, it's like when you say to your kids, clean up your room. You know, they might give an effort, but it's not a lot of effort. You know, when we think about the Church of Jesus, you know, would we evaluate our effort as enthusiastic or energetic? Would it be something that would describe who we are? We are ambitious for the kingdom of God. We are ambitious for the things of God, the mind of God, the purposes of God. If we think about workers, what we need is energetic workers. You recall what Romans chapter 12 says to us. Never be lacking in zeal, fervently serving one another. That is the goal in Christ. And Gaius was that kind of guy. Faithful, enthusiastic, energetic concerning the ministry. Notice what he did. His effort for these brothers. And we're going to find out that these are, you know, itinerant missionaries, and they've gone to his town. And you know what? He works with them and supports them and encourages them, and he shows hospitality to them. You know, the other day with a big windstorm, I had two trees snap right in half, you know, on my property. And you know, one fell on this fence and the other fell on that fence. You know, there are times when these trees, they just fall down and you go, that's out in the woods. Who cares? But this one right on my fence. And of course, what that meant is that my faithful dog had the opportunity to roam the woods anytime he wanted to. And so I got out my chainsaw. Well, you know, I'm not really all that skilled with tools. You could ask my wife in that regard. You know, and so I'm getting out my chainsaw, and if anybody has ever used a chainsaw, if the chain is dull, you end up kind of doing one of these things on the log, you know. You know, I was exhausted last weekend chopping up that stupid tree, and I thought to myself, maybe I ought to sharpen the blade. You know, I think as we think of our effort in church, it's one thing to be energetic, but it's also important to be sharp. It's important to do the right thing at the right time, with the right skills, with the right motive, with the right word of God, that word of God might speak to us, that we might be effective in the kingdom of God. And so Romans 12 starts off with offer your body as a living sacrifice. It goes into whatever your gift is, do it unto the Lord. Third thing that I want to show us here is the faithful worker is not exclusive. Notice the text says strangers, not part of your tribe. You know, fascinating, as I went down to this conference, my old association, our church is actually not a member of that group, but I'm listed in their directory because they always are saying, Mike, when are you going to sign up your church for this particular organization? And I go, oh, I don't know. Because to this group, they're strangers, right? It's not stranger to me, but to you it is. But you know, as I sat there with my tribe, you know what? It's funny, as I just kind of looked around, guys that looked like me, talked like me, been to the same schools like me, you know, I felt welcome in that tribe. When we think about church, church is an ongoing organization that must develop its sense of identity. We must develop our sense of identity. Who are we at Avondale Bible Church? Well, I would tell you what you are. You are people who are deeply committed to the Word of God, so that the Bible is central to everything that we do. That is why we are Avondale Bible Church. And so we will teach the Word, and we will preach the Word, and we will not neglect the Word. And we, like the Apostle Paul, would say, we will not fail to teach you the whole counsel of the Word of God. Amen? And we will do that in everything that we do. But we're not exclusive. When people walk through this door, you know, they don't know who we are, and they might be of a different tribe, and we've got to reach out to those strangers and not treat them as if they are stranger danger. You know, Hebrews 13 and verse 2 actually tells us to show hospitality because some of us have done so, entertaining angels unaware. You know, I want you to know that sometimes we don't experience those great things of God, those monumental experiences, because we hunker down and we only fellowship with our tribe. We never have that opportunity to reach out, branch out, look out for those who are different than us. And here in Hebrews it's saying some of you have even entertained angels unaware. Imagine when you get to the kingdom of God and you go, hey, you came to my house. Right? Have you ever had those experiences that have been kind of weird in that regard? We're unaware of it, but it happens. I've told you about the time, for some of you, I've told you this story. When I was first in the ministry, I'd finished seminary, and I didn't really want to serve God. Anybody ever been there with me? I didn't really want to, but I said, I'll go, you know. I don't, you know, sometimes we show up for ministry that way. Okay, God. You know, I hopped in my Volvo, you know, and I headed off to my first meeting at a church, and they were going to consider me for a ministry, and my car broke down, and you know, my immediate idea in my head was, praise God. My prayers have been answered. No, God did not want me to go. You know, I had hopped on that boat like Jonah, and I'm like, you know what, let's just sail in a different direction. And literally, I'm in my car rejoicing because I'm broken down along the freeway. But God had different things in mind for me. I got out of my car, a car whips over, and he says, you look like you're going somewhere, aren't you? Get in the car. I got in the car. Stranger danger. I mean, who knows who this guy. He dropped me off at the front of the church and he said, do a good job. You know, sometimes we don't see the hand of God or the work of God or even the angels of God because we are so afraid of the danger of taking a risk. Get in the car. And so John has said, you are faithful, you are endearing, you're energetic, and you're also not exclusive. You reach out, branch out. You know, I was talking with two of our ladies at the door, you know, who hand out those bulletins. Don't you love them? And you, yes, amen. You know what? And I gave them a hug, and they go, oh, thanks for that hug. And I said, you know, you need 14 hugs a day for optimum physical health. You know, have you heard that before? And both of them said, well, we're way, way overdue. Husbands are already gone, right? Stranger danger. Hug somebody today, right? With permission. Don't be weird. Okay, let me instruct some of you less intelligent people. Hug them from the side, okay? Nobody your own age and of the opposite sex, all right? Some of you need more instruction. First Corinthians 4 and verse 2 says this, "Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful." Amen? God is calling upon us to be faithful workers for the kingdom of God. Many of us start well, but we don't end well. Many of us are like a flash in the pan, but we do not simmer long. And some of us need to understand it's time to return to faithful service to the kingdom of God. We are supposed to be workers in the kingdom of God. Why did Jesus leave us here? Unless it's to fulfill his great commission, to go and make disciples, to baptize those disciples, and to teach them everything I have commanded. That is our purpose here at Avondale Bible Church. We are not a country club. We are not a place where we're just going to hang out and have friends. We are a place where I hope that in all the things that we do, we are reaching out with the kingdom of God in service to Jesus Christ. And whatever we do in word or deed, we do all to the glory of God or in his name. I want to talk, secondly, that we ought to be friendly workers. In verse 6, it says, "Those strangers who testified to your love before the church, you will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles." You know, I want to show us, number one, that a friendly worker is esteemed. Friendly. He says, who testified to your love. They were a witness to how friendly you were to us, even though we were strangers. We're going to have a business meeting today, and oftentimes, you know, have somebody give a report. Last time we had Luke give a report about what's going on in the youth ministry. Well, you know, I want a report that everything I hear about Luke and his wife Kate is wonderful. Everybody, yeah, right? Right? Everybody says, "We love Luke and Kate." And Kate more than Luke, you know what I mean? If you see stuff on my door, that's stuff that Luke leaves me. It's fantastic. Luke gets me already. But, you know, as we think about love, that's what we ought to have. You know how I could say right now, from my perspective, I see all these people smiling, right? You know, too often in church, what we are is just grumpy dumpy. You know what I mean? We're just grumpy dumpy. We're just, you know, such joy, such unspeakable joy. Aren't people who are friendly easy to embrace, right? There are some here in this congregation that everybody loves. I know, you just thought of a name, right? Everybody loves them. Why? Because they're such great hosts. Because they're so embracing. Because they just seem to love everybody. Right? Friendly workers are esteemed. You know, as you think about church and what church is to be like, you know, John is mentoring Gaius and he's encouraging Gaius. Matthew Henry, a great theologian, he died in 1714. I love to read the old guys, though, because I want to know that I have a faith that they had. I don't want something new or different or trendy. I want something that Jesus delivered once for all to the saints. I want the church of Jesus Christ to be like my parents' church, like their parents' church, like Matthew Henry's church. Amen? You know, to say otherwise is to say that the Holy Spirit has been totally ineffective to reach the people of God. Right? When we're searching for a new thing, or if we listen to these guys, well, we have yet to find the church that Jesus came to bring. I think you are claiming that your spirit is powerless to accomplish what he was sent to do, to teach us all things. So I like to read these old guys. Matthew Henry. He says this, "Such faithful souls," in regard to Gaius. I love the way that they say it. "Such faithful souls can hear their own praise without being puffed up. The praise of what is good in us is designed not for our pride, but for our encouragement. The church of Jesus, if we're going to be friendly with one another, we're going to stop complaining. Does not the Word of God say that? Do everything without disputing or complaining or arguing, right? Does that mean we don't bring up things that need to be corrected? Sure, but we ought to do it in such a way as to build up according to their needs. Is that not the Word of God? And so in everything that we do, we ought to encourage. Would you do something today, tomorrow, and the rest of this week? Will you call up somebody and say, you know what? What you do, I appreciate. Can you do that for me? Can you do that for Jesus? Can you show yourself to be a friendly worker? You want to be esteemed? That is how to have that come back to you. If you are grumpy, dumpy, more than likely people want to run, right? They want to run. Second thing, friendly worker is excellent. It says, you do well. You do well. It reminded me of what we find in Philippians 4, verse 8, whatever is praiseworthy or excellent. We ought to do things in an excellent way, should we not? Not average. And he says to send them on their journey, look at this, in a manner worthy of God. You know, when we do something for somebody else, again, whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name. Do all to the glory of God. It is so important. Think about your husband and wife relationship. Are you doing this for her or him? Right? And if you are, I'll tell you this, if they do not reciprocate, you will be disappointed. But if you are doing it for God, and isn't that what the Bible says? Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence for God, right? Well, then we can do it in an excellent way. Because we know that we are doing what God has called us to do. We're going back to 1 John, right? And we are loving in truth, walking in truth, walking according to His commands, because God is love, you recall. And everything that God commanded is for us to love one another. And so we do it in a manner worthy of God. The third thing that I want us to see here is the friendly worker is evangelistic. It says, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. You know, again, as we look at what's happening here in this text, it seems like they have gone out and they have come back and they have reported about Gaius and they are returning to Gaius. And John is saying to them, receive them and help them, support them in the kingdom of God. You know, we don't have this kind of style much anymore, the itinerant missionary, where he would just come into town and start preaching the word. And Jesus said to his disciples, go, and if somebody receives you, stay there and teach there. Well, Gaius had already been involved in that once, and John is saying, do it again. Evangelistic. You know, you need to ask yourself, do I come to church for the Great Commission, or do I come to church to be fed? Now, again, we like to be fed, but your feeding ought to lead to something, right? It ought to direct us to something. You don't feed the cattle just to see the cattle get fat. You feed them to eat them, right? Is it possible that God wants you to be consumed in His work? Is it possible God wants you to be consumed in His work so that when you come to church, I need to get fed up lest I starve, lest I fall apart? And so we need to understand that our mindset needs to constantly be about those who are not yet in the kingdom of God. That is the only reason Jesus is not back yet. There are some yet to be saved. There are some yet to be moved. There are some yet to be taught. And so the friendly worker, a lover of people, is a lover of the gospel of God. You know, I boast about Awana all the time because I love Preston's mindset that we are here to reach out with the gospel of God, not just feed the sheep. Amen? Give me an amen. All right, there we go. There's some zeal and some enthusiasm out of the mouth of babes, right? I love that. And so we need, as a church, if we are going to be, we take the focus off of me, right? Take the focus off of me and put it on those who are in need, and that will help drive you. I will tell you this, if you're here just to be fed, just to be welcomed, just to be encouraged, just to be loved, eventually you'll be disappointed. Because see, the friendly worker is esteemed. The friendly worker is encouraged. The friendly worker is evangelistic. Be these kinds of people. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. What a joy for me to come in this morning. I'm talking with the worship team, and one of the worship team people says, yeah, you know, I broke down, and I had a flat tire, and all these people were saying, can I help? Amen? That's what church should be. A list of people that, hey, it's my turn to serve, right? My turn. And a friend loves at all times. You know, why do I encourage people to join a life group? Because I want you to have such deep friends when you're in trouble, they're going to be there at your bedside. Right? When you're in trouble, they will be at your bedside. If you're unknown, if you're wandering, if you're floating from church to church, if you're not here regularly, it is possible that those dark times in your life, you will be met with loneliness, that no one will be there. Friend loves at all times. Lastly today, I would talk about the fellow worker. In verse 8, it says, therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. What a sweet idea behind what we are in Christ. I am no more important than you are. Amen? Amen? There we go. That's it. I love that. We're fellow workers. I want us to know a fellow worker is entrusted. He's entrusted with a ministry. He says, therefore, we ought. We have an obligation. This obligation is the obligation of debt. I owe, it's off to work I go, right? We pay our debts. The righteous pay their debts. And so the Word of God says, let no debt remain outstanding. So it's not wrong to borrow money, but it is wrong not to pay back what you owe. It's probably not a good idea to borrow a lot of money, because we get in trouble. And if we consider that 70% of all marriages fail because of money conversations, we ought to think about it, right? But at least this, we have this obligation in Christ to support. You know, I heard this at the conference this weekend, and I'll share it with you. I haven't studied it a lot. But he says, you know, we hear the parable about the talents, and in our English mind, we think of abilities, right? We think of abilities. But he said, if we just translate the word, it is money. That's what it means. And so some had more money than the next one. And what was the whole idea? Invest what you have. Right? Invest what you have. Don't bury your money. Invest it in the kingdom of God. In fact, the Bible says, test me on this, right? Test me. You know that I rarely talk about financial support. I'm going to hear to tell you that when we have our business meeting today, we have more money in our checking account than we have ever had in my 21 years here. Amen? So I am not pleading to you because I have a need. I'm pleading you for the sake of the kingdom of God, that maybe we as the kingdom of God can do more for his namesake. Amen? And so he says, we ought to support people like these. This summer, one of ours is going to go down to Mexico area, and we hope to send a gift to our pastor down there. We're going to send a gift. Elder Board has approved $2,000 that we're going to send from our mission fund to our church plant in San Jose. You know, I love the Google Earth, right? Because you can dial in and you can see our little building there, and you can see the street. You know, if you can't go, at least Google it, right? And we'll help you find that, but you know what? Would you just designate some money to that local pastor that he might be encouraged, that we might continue that ministry You know, we're getting nothing out of it except building the Church of Jesus Christ. These are strangers to us. Mario's been here to introduce himself. You remember Mario? He's still at it. Our missionaries reporting, Mario is still at it. Let's encourage him. Ben Lunsford is going to Germany this summer to work with kids. You know what? We ought to support that. We ought to. You know, we'll have individuals that are going this fall. October 22nd, I believe, is the date for our mission trip. There are many who want to go but cannot go because they don't have the money. Support people like this. You know, let's break it down a little more. We need more individuals to be hospitable in their homes to host life groups. We want to train you. We want to equip you. We want to help you in this. But there's a certain obligation that we have to do this for the kingdom of God. Now, is it hard to have a study at your house? I'll teach you the 10-second tidy. Some of you remember that old cartoon, the 10-second tidy. That's where you just shove everything into the cupboards and close the door. You know, it's hard, you know, unless you're just like all the time, you know, working on your house to host 15 to 20 people in your home, right? It's tough. But we ought to. In fact, Scripture says we ought to offer hospitality without grumbling. 1 Peter 4, verse 9. But I want you to know here that when he talks about the support, if you look up the Greek term here, it's not just to give financial support or show hospitality. The Greek means to take up, and it has the idea to take up somebody who is being persecuted. And you will see this clearly in the text next week as Diotrephes, I looked that up in the Greek, Diotrephes is opposing those who would be hospitable to these strangers and literally wants to throw them out. Who does Diotrephes want to throw out? Gaius. Gaius, faithful, friendly, fellow worker. And this happens so often in church. And we will find out the major mindset of those who would cause division, they want to be first. They want, and we'll look at that next week. And so we need to understand this moral obligation comes because those that would be busy in the kingdom of God are constantly going to be persecuted by the devil because the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. If you're already eaten, he leaves you alone. Right? And what I mean by eaten is you are inactive, unable to minister in the kingdom of God. For you, you need help, you need encouragement, and you need to be lifted up from where you are right now. But you need to know that's what you need to do. Right? So we have this obligation. And we have this obligation because, you know, the ministry is great. Amen? The ministry of hosting people is great. The ministry of the gospel is great. There's no better job than the one I have, frankly. I get to be paid to work in the kingdom of God. But I want you to know there's no greater job than to serve in the kingdom of God. Now, there will be trouble, and that trouble is mitigated when the people of God are encouraging and supportive, amen, to one another in that regard. Not trying to throw people out, but rather to try to gather people in. And so lastly, number two, the fellow worker is engaged. That we may be fellow workers for the truth. You know, the Greek term here is synergos. It's where we get the idea of synergy. And synergy is the idea of working together of two or more people in an organization or thing when the result is greater than the sum of its parts. Ecclesiastes puts it like this: two is better than one, for they have a return for their labor, and a strand of three is not easily broken. How much more when the kingdom of God binds itself together in love, fitted together in love, accomplishes the work of God in love as we work together to accomplish whatever it is that God would have us accomplish here at Avondale Bible Church. You know, here's one of the amazing things about the kingdom of God. Jesus said this in Matthew 10, verse 41. Matthew 10, verse 41 says this, "The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward." Do you want any greater motivation than to serve and support and encourage those who work in the kingdom of God? It is right there. When you get to heaven, you will receive a prophet's reward. When you hold up our teachers back here, when you support our Awana people, when you support those who are in our counseling ministry, when you support those who preach in the name of Jesus Christ, you are getting a prophet's reward when you enter the kingdom of God. Mentoring workers, what do we need to do? We need to be faithful. Right? God calls us to it. Without faithfulness, we'll never accomplish anything. We need to be friendly. One mind, one love, one purpose. We need to be in love. We are not an organization. We are a community. We are a tribe, and we want to welcome anybody that comes in that door. And we are fellows. Fellows together for the kingdom of God. Jesus, I thank you for this text today. I pray that it speak to us. God, I thank you for so many friendly people in this congregation who reach out in love, embrace in love, work in love, serve in love, God. I pray that you would encourage them all the more as they support your kingdom and your kingdom mindset. And I pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.